Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day, for your presence, having come down in this hour, being with us, Lord, leading us to the millennium. And Father, we just pray that you would help us, oh God, as we enter into this series on faith, to understand our day and the hour which we live, the shout, the voice, the trump, Lord, the very expressions of your word coming forth into manifestation, and believing, Father, for the change of the body one of these days, but knowing that many people have not even faith to heal a hangnail right now, let alone have faith for the change of the body. So, Father, we ask that you would help us as we enter into this series on faith to understand what it is and what it's for. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning we're going to continue in our series on faith. We began last Sunday, and Last Sunday we spoke on what is faith, and then on Wednesday we showed that faith is a revelation, something that's revealed to you. Brother Branham said in his sermon, The Rapture, he said for paragraph 40, you cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that has been revealed to you like it was Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't. Now, that's what faith is the revelation of God. The church is built upon the revelation, the whole entire body. So we see that faith is the revelation of God, and He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is only one faith, as Paul taught us, because he says there's only one Lord. Now, we began the series showing where Jesus said in Luke 18 and 8, Nevertheless, when the Son of God cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And we also find the Apostle Paul teaching us the very same thing. In 1 Timothy 4, 1-2, he says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. Not a faith, the faith. And how do they depart from the faith? He continues to tell us how, as he says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Giving heed to, which means that they open their minds to delusion that comes to by seductive spirits, enticing spirits, and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, that lies in hypocrisy, these doctrines of devils know better, but they do not teach what they know to be the truth. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I know firsthand because in having traveled to many countries, I've had ministers actually that attacked what we taught. They said, well, we know that those scriptures are true, and we know that those quotes are true, but we're just telling our ministers not to use them. Well, you might as well just start tearing pages out of your Bible. You know, Jesus warned us. He said that they will not enter in themselves, Matthew 23, and they will hinder those from entering to enter. Now, his brother Branham was very clear that there is only one faith, as the Apostle Paul also taught us, and these people will depart from that one and true, and only true faith. So we want you to see what faith is so that you know what they are departing from. Now, Ephesians 4 and 5 tells us there is only one Lord and one faith. So you don't have to worry about, I have faith for this, I have faith for this, I have faith for this. Listen, there is only one faith. Now, we have one electricity that lights the lights, that runs a sound system, that cools a building. It's one operation, it's one energy, but there's many different forms that it takes place, just like there's a five-fold ministry. It's the same God, but it's expressed differently in an apostle, from an evangelist, from a pastor, from a teacher, from a prophet. You see? All the gifts of God is one God, one Spirit, but it's a diversity of gifts. So this operates differently using the same electricity. You operate differently using the same energy of God. Okay? Now, so Paul says there is one Lord, not two, not three, one Lord and one faith. Ephesians 4 and 5, He says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. And from our sermon last week, we found that Brother Brown in the rapture message, and we just read where the Apostle Paul said, Ephesians 4 and 5, there is only one faith. And since faith, as Brother Brown said, is a revelation of God, as Brother Brown said, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ, then there is only one revelation, and we know by Scripture that this one revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1 and 2, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And remember, Brother Brown, when he's caught up to the other side, he said, I want to teach you what Paul said. And they said, we're standing on that, Brother Brown. All right. And when John was caught up into the Lord's day in vision on the Isle of Patmos, we read in the book of Revelation chapter 1 and 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And the Apostle Peter taught us at the end time, he said the revelation of Jesus Christ would return back to the earth. Joel tells us what was destroyed will be restored. All right. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So there's a certain portion of grace that comes at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, if there are a people who are ordained to fall away from the faith, then they will fall away from the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because there's only one faith. All right, that's the faith of God. And this will come via a deception concerning the one true revelation of Jesus Christ. Also will come via doctrines of devils. So the doctrine which is teaching will be error concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ and will produce error in the people. I've taught messages on wrong spirit, wrong doctrine. Wrong doctrine, wrong spirit. Wrong doctrine, wrong spirit. In other words, you feed on false, you're going to become false. In 1 Peter 1:23 tells us being born again, not of corruptible seed, that's one way, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which is eternal. So we have then a corruptible new birth and an incorruptible new birth. The incorruptible is eternal because you have eternal life. The corruptible is like the Baptists, they have to go to the altar every week. Go to the altar, get born again, again, and again. All right? In other words, as it was in the days of Elijah, the false ministry of that day were successful in getting the people of Israel to worship God in a wrong way, and thus to worship God outside of the truth is to actually worship other gods. That is why they worship Baal, which actually means Lord. So when they speak of worshiping the Lord in their worship, if their worship is based on wrong understanding, they are in fact worshiping a wrong Lord. And the sad part is that they don't even know what they're doing. Because they are ordained to do that. They are ordained to do what they're going to do. All right, that's what Brother Brown said. But will they open their heart to listen? Never. For Jesus said, the reason they will not receive the truth is that they have no place for the truth in their heart. We have a pope saying that, well, the Mohammedans worship the same God we do. Well, maybe he does. But he's a Trinitarian and they're a oneness. The Jews are oneness. And they rejected Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, and therefore they rejected God in His Son. All right, now, in John 8:37, Jesus is arguing with the intellectuals of His day, the Pharisees. He says, I know that you are Abraham's seed. These are the most religious people on earth. They could take a pin and put it in the scroll and they could tell you every single letter it passed through. Now, that's knowing their Bible. But they didn't know Him. Who wrote the Bible? I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen my Father. I've seen it. Jesus said the Son can do nothing until he sees the Father do it first. He had visions. And you do that which you have seen of your Father. How? In their DNA. Says, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. And then they said unto him, we're not born of fornication. We're not serpent seed. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto him, if God were your father, you would love me. And for I proceeded forth and come from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear. And Brother Brown taught us, hearing is to understand. In fact, Jesus tells us in Matthew 13, they hear but they don't understand. Okay? Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear. You cannot understand my word. You are of your father the devil, the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? Which of you can put a finger on my life and say there's any unbelief? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth, understandeth God's words. He therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. It's just that simple. Now, in the second church age, Irenaeus came along and pointed out to the people that the wrong connection of the Scripture will give a wrong presentation of the only true God, and therefore will present a perverted Lord. In fact, Paul the Apostle tells the same thing. He says, again, another Jesus, another Gospel, another Spirit. All right? And in John 4 and 22, Jesus says, the Gentiles worship what they know not. The Gentiles worship what they know not. They have no clue. You know, the majority of them are either Trinitarian or oneness. There's a small minority in the world that believe there's one God. And he had a son, and he indwelt that son, he lived through that son, he expressed himself through that son, then he left that son to die, to bleed and die, because God can't die, he's the only immortal king. Melchizedek, you know, Melchizedek was without father, without mother. Jesus had both father and mother. But he was without father, without mother, beginning of days, or ending of life. Jesus had beginning of days, ending of life. You see, Melchizedek was the king of peace. Jesus was the prince of peace. And the prince is the son of a king. All right? Now, but he says, but we know what we worship. And that's the key. You must know him who you are worshiping, or you will be lost in your unbelief. And he further states, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so apart from truth, you worship him in vain. You must worship God in spirit and in truth. Worship apart from the true revelation is satanic. And God will not reveal anything without it coming via his prophet. So any revelation that comes outside of the vindicated channel of God is part of that great deception. And I say, when I say prophet, I'm speaking of these two. The prophets that wrote the word. All right? The spoken word and the written word. Now, from his sermon, Jesus Christ is saying, yesterday, today, forever, Brother Branham said, now, sometimes today, it's been said amongst many believers, they say about certain things, oh, well, that's against my faith. Our faith don't teach that. There's only one. There's only really one faith. The Bible says so. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and there's one faith. And that is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. He also said in the sermon, anointed ones at the end time. Now notice, that was Jesus speaking. Here come Paul right behind him and said, now in the last days there will come religious people, see, having a form of godliness. And godliness means godlikeness, okay? So they had a Christian form. And leading silly women, led away with all kinds of worldly lusts. Then they wonder and they say, well, why do you pick on them women? Oh, for goodness, they just don't even see it. Lead silly women laden with diverse lusts away from the things like that, as Gadarenes and Jambres, Matthew 24:24, false Christ, false anointed, doing signs and wonders to deceive the elected. Now, as Gadarenes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these reprobates, reprobate mind concerning the faith, not a faith, the faith, one Lord, one. You can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. You see that, Paul? You believe in two lords, you have more than one faith. That's a vindicated prophet said so. You teach two lords, you're in error. That's what Brother Bell called it, a fallacy. All right? You can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. You can't have two baptisms, not one for the Father, one for the Son, and Holy Ghost. There's one baptism, Jesus Christ, that's right. See, that's why Brother Bell instructed us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, speaking of the Father, Jesus, the name, the Father's name given to the Son, and Christ, that anointing, or anointed, or anointer. All right? Understand, the baptism gives you a full understanding of the deity and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, again from a sermon, Paul Warren, Locust and Caterpillar, Brother Ramson, now, the people say, well, that's against my faith. There's only one faith. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You might have a faith, but we want the faith. Earnestly contending. That's argue for it, standing up for it, earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. When they were called saints. When they were sanctified. When they were sanctified. The Holy Spirit sanctified them. They were called saints. Now, Jude says, a brother, foster brother of Jesus, he said, I want you to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Don't never let that faith drop. And the faith of the saints was not in creeds, not in denominations, not in church buildings or associations, but it was in the presence of the living God. There's your parousia. There's your appearing before the coming. They had faith to heal the sick, cast out devils, do miracles. All the great promises that Jesus made, that first church held onto that, it was the lifeline. That's your John 14:12. That's your Mark 16. All right. And from door to the heart, he said, oh, there's just a lot of those doors. Let's find the door of faith over here on the side. Now, I have faith, but don't you go fooling with my faith. See, there's only one faith. And that's the faith of God. That's right. The door's all closed up because that you don't want to fool around that door or let Jesus around there, because as soon as he stands in that door, he will scream out, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your creed will bar that door. You say it's only for one man, you see. But he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You'll come to church and watch the signs and wonders of God being performed. You won't pay attention to that because the creed has locked the door of your faith in you and made you to think that that is a faith. But there is only one faith, and that's the faith of God. And the only one that can bring that faith of God is Jesus Christ, his Son, that comes into your heart. He knocks at your door through signs and wonders and miracles, but he keeps that all pinned up. Well, I don't want nothing to do with that. Oh, if he could only stand and you'd open up that door, it wouldn't be 2 minutes till you believe every word that the Bible wrote and say amen to every bit of it. If you just would open that door and let Jesus come in, give you the faith that he has to give you. You've took the faith that some creed has given you. You lock the doors upon Christ's faith. When you take Christ's faith, then you can recognize him. In other words, if you've got, and only if you've got the faith of Jesus Christ, will you begin to understand what this message is all about. Because then you're born again. You see, even the Apostle Paul said it. He said, what man can understand things of God except the Spirit of God be in him? You can't understand. That's what people in this message, look, there's over 2 million people. My wife, she gets on my case about it. She says, well, you know, you come down on the message people. I'm not coming down on the message people. I'm coming down on the unbelief of people calling themselves message people when they're not. People calling themselves Christians when they're not. They are not Christians. They are not message people if they don't believe what a vindicated prophet said. They can say, I believe Brother Branham. I believe Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, you know what? He said, you say you believe Brother Branham. He said, that just means that you can read. But until you're born again, until you've got God life in you, then you can understand the things of God. Now, again from his sermon, earnestly contending for the faith, he said, now, it was to contend for the faith. The, not a, the one faith. There's only really one faith, one Lord, one God, one baptism, one faith. So now we have to go back to find out what that faith is. Well, people say, well, you know, in the book of Acts it says that God hath made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. So I guess there's two Lords, there must be two Christs. And that's totally unfounded. When God entered into Jesus, the one Lord entered him, that made him Christ. Right? That also made him Lord. Not the vessel was Lord, but the God who is the Lord entered the vessel. Hi. Brother Brown said, he said, they need their brains baptized. Okay. Seeing there is ordained to be a falling away from the faith in this last hour, we need to be sure of what we have as faith in Jesus Christ is the faith of Jesus Christ and not some deviation from his faith, not some delusion, which would make it a delusion rather, than the genuine faith of the Son of God, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Deviation from that faith means that you understand a delusion and not a true revelation. Deviation makes your faith a delusion and not a revelation. And in this late hour, we need to know if our faith is a true, genuine faith, the same faith that Jesus Christ lived by, that Paul spoke of in Galatians 2 and 20, where he said, I am, presently, every day, I crucify Paul. I am crucified with Christ. That's also Colossians 3:3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You see? Nevertheless, he says, I'm living. I am crucified. I'm dead, yet I'm living. Yet it's not Paul. It's not I that's living. It's not Paul that's living. But it's Christ who liveth in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. His faith, who loved me. He gave himself for me. Christ died that we could live now. We died that he might live again in us. Therefore, we need to know whether your faith is the same revelation from God that Jesus lived by, or just a delusion that's brought about by your being deceived by every wind of doctrine of men, which would be nothing less than a deception. Therefore, this morning, you either have revelation or you have deception, one of the two. Therefore, this morning, we will examine whether the faith that you hold on to is the true revelation of Jesus Christ, the same faith that Jesus held on to, or whether your faith, which is what revelation that you hold on to, is nothing more than just a delusion, because it's a deviation from the truth. It's a delusion. A delusion is not based upon a right division of the word. A revelation is based upon the right division of the word. All right. Therefore, a delusion will bring you a wrong understanding, and if it brings you a wrong understanding, it will produce a wrong spirit. That word is heteros. Paul said, "You have another spirit." It's the word heteros. It means another, not a different like this is different from this, but it's of another nature. We say heterosexual. It's a different nature. It brings a spirit, a different spirit than what Jesus had. Now, in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10, we hear Paul warn us. He says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie." Now notice, because they receive not the love of the truth. When they hear something that the prophet said, it's contrary to thinking, they don't stop and say, "Well, when those years are wrong," like Brother Bell did. No, they want to fight it. They want to say, "Well, that's not that's not in the Bible. Brother Brown was wrong. That's not in the Bible." Listen, it is in the Bible. Every word Brother Brown spoke to us, I can show you right from the Scriptures where it's at. And if you can't take the doctrine that he taught right back to the Scripture, you don't know the doctrine that he taught. So who sends this delusion? We just read it. "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." And the word unrighteousness comes from the Old English right wiseness. So unrighteousness will be not righteous, not rightly wise. All right? In other words, they had a wrong understanding. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory, to the obtaining of the doxa of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's God's opinions, values, and judgments. Now, from Brother Ram's sermon, the first seal, he said, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness," he's quoting what Paul just said, "deceiving people by unrighteousness in them that perish," not this bride, "in them that's looking for such a thing, because they receive not the love of the truth. And Christ is the truth, and Christ is the Word, but they'd rather have a creed, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." Now, it should be translated there, as I looked up in the lexicon, "the lie," not a lie, "the lie," the same one he told Eve, "that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." And we know, of course, the lie was, "Hey, you're okay. You won't die. It's okay to, God doesn't really mean it." Listen, the vindicated prophet said what he meant, and he meant what he said, because that was God speaking to the people. That was the voice of God to this age. Now, we know the word righteousness, and like Brother Brown says, "Say what's on the tape, say only what's on the tape, and then take it right back to the Scriptures." You better know it from this, brother, because that's where Brother Brown took it from. Brother Brown said, "Look, I'm a man, I can make mistakes, I'll show you in just a minute." But he said, "But this word never makes a mistake." So you take what he said back to here, you got it exactly right. Like Billy Paul said, you got the front end of the sight, you got the back end of the sight. Now let's line up the Bible with the vindicated Word of God, the spoken Word of God. You'll never hit the target. All right. Now, from his sermon, "God of this Evil Age," Brother Brown said, "making a strong delusion as the Bible said it would, 2 Thessalonians, how that this man of sin would come into existence and sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, or was God, and cause the people to go into strong delusion to believe a lie. And believing it will be damned by it. That's the same thing he did to Eve, give her, never told her the word wasn't right, but give her a strong delusion that she believed a lie. The spirit of delusion is of the devil. Devil's now working in the children of disobedience. Disobedient what? What's the children of disobedience to? Like Eve was at the beginning, the true word of God. The devil's now working in the children of disobedience. You know, Brother Vail told me that Brother Brown had said, when he left Tucson to come back, about a week before, he said, there's already 17 different versions of the message being preached out there. 17. That was back in 65. What is it today? Therefore, you are either walking in the true light with God or the false light that opposes God, because Satan, his ministers are angels of light. You see? Lucifer means light. Lucian. You are either rightly wise or you are unrightly wise. In other words, your faith or revelation is either correct or your faith is not a genuine faith. But actually, it's a delusion, which is nothing more than a deception, because you think that you're right when you're not. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the way thereof is the way of what? In the same letter to the Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul wrote earlier in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. There you go. So the Apostle Paul tells us there is coming a time when the Lord Jesus, the same one who met him on the road to Damascus, will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now we have the picture on the wall over there, and we have the picture over there. And notice the next thing he said about that great one and how he will reveal himself in flaming fire. He's speaking of the same pillar of fire that met him on the road to Damascus, returning back to the end time. Now, I have a quote I didn't put in here, but Brother Branham said, he said that pillar of fire that led Israel in the wilderness, that flaming fire, the pillar of fire, he said that was Jesus. He said then that same God entered into his son, and that became Jesus in Jesus. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. Mm-hmm. All right? So the Apostle Paul tells us there's coming a time when the Lord Jesus, the same one who met him on the road to Damascus, will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and in flaming fire. He's speaking of the same pillar of fire that met him on the road to Damascus, returning back at the end time, taking vengeance on them that, what? What's it say? Know not God. And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Galatians chapter 1, Paul says, how you have so soon removed yourself from following the one who saved you. How do they do it? By preaching another Jesus, another gospel. They take on another spirit. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. They won't be in the presence of God when they're destroyed. That destruction has to come outside the presence of God. That's why God takes us up out of here before the earth is destroyed. Now, this tells us that when God appeared on the scene, in this hour, that there will be a separation that takes place. Those who know God shall be separated those who know not God shall be separated from the presence of the Lord at the time, and not only separated from the presence, but separated from the glory of his power. Separated from the presence, what is that? Ichabod. The Spirit of the Lord is departed. And they then will be separated from the glory, from the doxa of his power. Now, this word glory was translated from the Greek word doxa, so these men will be separated from God's presence, first of all, and then because they are no longer walking in the light, their hearts become darkened, as Paul says in Ephesians 4. And notice, then when their hearts become darkened, they become blind. Ephesians 4 and 18, in verse 18. All right? So, they no longer walk in the light as he is in the light. They will be separated from God's opinions, God's values, and God's judgments, which is his revealed word, for he is the word. Now, let's read again, 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7. And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed or manifested, because the word apocalypse means to reveal by manifestation, from heaven with his mighty angels. So when this revelation comes via God's manifesting himself. As Brother Brown preached so many times, sermons like the mighty God unveiled, the presence of God unrecognized, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, the unveiling of God, who is Melchizedek, etc., etc. All right. So we read verse 8, in flaming fire, the pillar of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from or out from the presence of the Lord, the appearing, and from the glory of his power, from his ghost. All right. Now, it's interesting that this word power, notice the glory of his power, this word power was not translated from the Greek word dunamis, which speaks of miracle working power, but rather a word that is hardly ever used to represent power. And the word is ishmus, and is a form of the Greek word echo. It speaks of the strength of the echo. They will be separated from his presence first, Don, then from the power of the echo. The power of saying what he said the same way he said it, and they are separated from it. And now when they're separated from an echo, they go from echoing, they go to just regurgitation. So when these people are separated from the glory of his power, he's telling us that they are separated from the dosa of his ishmus. In other words, they are separated from the power that comes from echoing God's opinions, God's values, and God's judgments, and the strength of the echo of God's values and opinions, etc. Notice that Paul mentions a separation from the presence of the Lord first, and then he says, the Lord, and this "the" speaks of one, as in one Lord. And then, once they separate themselves from the presence of the one Lord, then they become separated from his glory, his doxa, his opinions, values, and judgments. Why? Because he is the word that they have separated themselves from. The Bible says one Lord, and they say two or three. And when they go to two or three, they've separated themselves from the word. All right? Now, and Brother Vail said, two lords is a fallacy, shouldn't be preached. But they do it because they see the Lord said unto my Lord, which is a wrong translation. It should be Elohim said unto Adonai. That's right from the Greek, or right from the Hebrew. All right. Now remember, because they loved not his word, God turns them over to believe the lie, the same one that was told Eve, thou shalt not surely die. All right. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. So in essence, these people who say, who it says, know not God, that means that they understand not God. And they are cut off from all the benefits of God's presence and his doxa. But at this time, we are told that the others who are ordained to life will be glorified by God, by God's presence in them. When he, God, verse 10, shall come to be glorified in his saints. Now notice at this time when God comes and makes himself known by revealing or manifesting himself, he will endoxazo his people. That's the word glorify. The word endoxazo is made up of a prefix en, meaning in. En is the Greek, in is the English. And doxa, which is the values, opinions, and judgments of God. And the suffix zo or zoe, meaning the life. So the Greek word endoxazo means when he comes to magnify his opinions, his values, and his judgments in the life of the believers. And to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Notice Paul says, what I'm preaching to you will finally be believed in that day. And Brother Bram stood there on the other side with all the saints, and he said, I'm only preaching what Paul preached. And they said, we're counting on that, Brother Bram. The true believer will say, I believe what he said, and I can see it here from what he said. I'm believing that what Brother Bram said was right out of what Paul said. Amen? So we see Paul's testimony will be believed in that day when God comes to reveal himself and at the same time expresses doxa in the believers. And isn't that exactly what Brother Bram said when he was caught up beyond the curtain of time? He said, I only preach what Paul preached. And the people said, we're counting on that, Brother Branham. Now, verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Isn't that a great calling to be in doxazo? And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that is dunamis, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified, magnified in you. In other words, glorified is the same endoxazo that might be expressed, the dox of God expressed in you. And you and him, according to the grace of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know by what the Apostle Paul is telling us here that a certain people will receive the glory or the dopes of God in this hour, and this is to bring us into harmony and conformity to the very image of the firstborn Son of God. In other words, it speaks of the very mindset that was in Christ coming into the believers at that time, while others will be banished from God's presence and absent from the mind of God. Remember, Jesus said in John 17:20, He said, Father, I pray that they will be one, even as you and I are one. And so, Father, I have given them thy doxa, thy glory, that they might be one as we are one. So it is the receiving of that doxa, the receiving of the opinion, values, and judgment of God, that we receive it the same way Jesus received it, and we begin to manifest it in our flesh like he manifested in his flesh. That made him one with God. That makes us one with God. And he said, in the same way. So, if people say, well, Jesus and God were one like your finger is one, then that would have to make you and I one with God as our finger is one. And that's impossible. There's many members in the one body. By one Spirit, God's Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, the body of Christ. Now, Paul said in Ephesians 2:5, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. He also said in Philippians 3:15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it unto you. So what gives us the ability to be thus minded is the revelation that comes from God, the faith of God. Now, any child who follows the ministry of William Branham should be able to quote from Matthew 16:17. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock of revelation I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, as I said, just about anyone who follows William Branham's message has heard him say this enough times that they should be able to quote it and even talk intelligently about revelation, what it is, and how necessary revelation is to the believer. But why do so many who claim to believe the message refuse to believe what Peter said that brought such praise from Jesus? In verse 13, Jesus asked the disciples the question, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Well, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say that you are Elijah, others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, But who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, It said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not thou art God, who made himself a body and became man, but who stepped into a body, the body of his Son. Thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus called Peter blessed, and said those most notable words, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock, the rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter called Jesus the Son of God, but the majority of ministers who claim to follow Brother Branham do not have the same revelation that Peter had, because they refuse to call Jesus the Son of God. Rather, they say that he is God who made himself into a son. God never made himself into a son. God took his son and entered into him at the River Jordan. Therefore, we're looking at the difference between revelation and deception, because both are very powerful influences in the world today, and not only in the world, but also amongst those who claim to believe the end time message of Malachi 4. And let's face it, I'm not interested in what's happening in the world as much as I'm interested in what's happening around this message. The world is a lost cause. Brother Branham called them cannon fodder many, many times. Therefore, our focus should not be on what is cannon fodder, but what are sons and daughters of God sitting under false shepherds who have no more understanding of God than one is Pentecostals.
Right.
They might as well be the same. Now, to understand the difference between revelation and deception, we must know what the two words mean. Because as Brother Branham said about the difference between the appearing and coming, he said they are two different words and they mean two different things. And revelation and deception are two different words and they mean two different things as well. Now, the word revelation means the act of revealing or disclosing. Something that's revealed, something not previously known or realized, but is made known or realized. In Scripture, it is manifestation of divine will or truth. So we see that revelation is something that God had hidden, but then uncovers or discloses so as to reveal or make the truth known to men. Now, let's contrast that with deception or delusion, which is a fallacy, a false belief, or false opinion. And delusion comes from delude, which means to mislead or deceive. The act of deceiving, and deceive means to take a truth and hide it. Revelation is to take a truth that's hidden and reveal it. Deception is to take a truth that's open and hide it. See? Therefore, revelation takes that which is hidden and reveals it, while deception takes that which is true and hides it. The result is a delusion which leads to a fallacy or false belief. So we can say revelation reveals or makes known, while deception covers up the truth. In other words, then a deception is anti or opposite of revelation. And if it takes the Spirit of God to truly have revelation, then it takes the Antichrist spirit to bring you to deception. Now, I've taught the message to more than 3,500 ministers face-to-face around the world, over 56 countries. And I cannot say that all that I have taught and have understood what I've taught. Or understood what Brother Brown actually said, because I just take his quotes and lay them out. In fact, I would be very surprised if 10% really understood what I taught. But I think it's maybe closer to 1%. Maybe 35 out of 3,500. Now, that has nothing to do with my ability to teach. For after all, unless the Lord buildeth the house, they that buildeth in vain. And unless a teacher, which is the Holy Ghost himself, comes into a person's heart, they can hear but not understand, and they can see but not perceive.
Yeah. Right.
Now, how is it that men could be so blinded to the truth when the truth is presented to them? And so blinded by their creeds and dogmas, how could they then say they got the Holy Ghost? And then how is it that people would sit under men who are not even born again? And all you have to do is look at their lives. By their fruits you shall know them. And people willingly, in this message, have willingly sat in churches where men are fornicators and adulterers and they rob the people and they steal from the people and they make the people their slaves and everything else. And the people will sit there. All I can do is take you back to Scripture. It says, like prophet, or like priest, like people, like priest. That's it. People want somebody to do their religion for them. So you see, even God Himself is doing the teaching. When God Himself is doing the teaching, not everyone who is taught learns what is being taught. Notice John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So notice, they're taught of God. All men will be taught of God, but only certain ones that have heard and have learned actually do come. Brother Brown said, hearing, recognizing, and then acting upon the word. But if you hear but don't recognize, you don't act. All right? So you see, when God Himself is doing the teaching, not everyone who is taught learns what is being taught. Jesus could perform no miracle in Nazareth because of the people's unbelief. Your lack of faith. Your lack of understanding. And we know the Holy Spirit is the real teacher anyway, but God uses men to do His teaching, but it takes the Holy Spirit to anoint that teaching to make it a divine revelation. And from a sermon, blasphemous names, Brother Brown said, now, number one, coming to your mental faith, right here, comes the Holy Spirit coming down into your mental faith, making it a spiritual faith. Then, the spiritual faith only recognizes the Word. Now, and number two, then you'll have spiritual, you have the Holy Spirit and will seal all those things into you as that Holy Spirit covers this from your faith, from your mental faith, from your faith up to the Holy Spirit seals you in with Christ. Then you become one. Amen. You become one. See, you and Christ live together. At that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father me, I'm you, and you and me. See, then that's a sealed union of the Lord God. And now, and then they are vindicated and placed. When that time takes place, they become vindicated sons and daughters of God. All right? So notice that Brother Bram is telling us here that when the Holy Spirit comes into your mental faith, He anoints your mental faith and it becomes a spiritual dynamic revelation. And then it is sealed in there and no one could take it from you. And He said it makes us one with Christ. And notice He said when we come to that place, we are ready for the placing as sons and daughters of God. In other words, we must be in that condition where our mental faith has been anointed with the Spirit of God, and it has dropped down into our soul, sealing us in and making us one with the mind of Christ. And we must come to that condition in order to be placed in the adoption of sons, because we've got to have the mind of the Father, or we'll never be placed. Again, for blasphemous gain, he said the biggest part of our faith is mental faith. By hearing the word, it brings us to a mental recognition of God. But if this coming from above, oh brother, if it ever strikes this, there is a godly spiritual faith. Then what does that faith do? That faith recognizes only the word, no matter what anyone else, anything else says. It only recognizes the word. Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word still God, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And when the word itself is poured into our faith, our mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation. And upon this foundation I'll build my church. See, not upon a mental conception of church joining, a mental conception of that, but upon the revelation. When them streams of grace is poured into that mental faith that you got, then upon this, a spiritual revelation, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. See, that shows that they should be that they would be against it, but it'll never prevail. Oh, what a glorious thing! Now, notice Brother Bram tells us that the Holy Spirit comes to anoint our mental faith, and then it becomes a spiritual revelation that builds upon word upon word upon word. And then Brother Bram says, when them streams of grace is poured into that mental faith that you've got, then upon this, it becomes a spiritual revelation. Now notice how Brother Brown tells us that the Holy Spirit comes and anoints our mental faith, and then it becomes a spiritual revelation that builds upon word. All right, now Peter, the one who Jesus praised for receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ, that there is one God and he had a son, and that son was the Son of God, and he was the anointed one. In 1 Peter 1:13, the same Peter, he tells us, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now notice he says, at the end time, there will be a certain grace that will be brought to you at the end time, or the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now in 1 Corinthians 1:3, we read, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. And notice what this grace does. Verse 5. That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance. That word is logos. Now this word utterance was translated from the Greek word logos, which we know as the word. But also it means doctrines or teaching, and in all knowledge. So we see that this grace is to enrich, like fertilizer enriches the seed that's been planted in the soil, and is to enrich the doctrine and knowledge in order to produce a fully manifested crop of sons and daughters. That's what we put fertilizer on, is to manifest the fruit. Right? The fruit can't be seen yet when we put the fertilizer on. But then it helps to enrich what's in that seed by predestination, and then the seed produces the fruit. All right. Then he tells us, verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. What's the testimony of Christ? God is my Father. And that testimony is confirmed in you. It means it's stabilized, but also means it's vindicated in you, so that you become behind in no gift. The word gift is taken from the Greek word charisma, and it means endowment, as in mentally acuity or ability to understand. In other words, you receive the Holy Ghost that you might understand. So God sends a special anointing of grace in order to anoint our minds to the revelation of Jesus Christ, so that we come behind in no understanding, waiting for the coming, the apocalypse, which is the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you, which means he will vindicate you and stabilize you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is faithful, by whom you are called under the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In other words, if you all speak the same thing, it's because you have the same mind. The reason why in this message and throughout Christianity people say different things is because they have a different mind. They don't have the mind of Christ. If they had the mind of Christ, they'd all say the same thing. They say what's on the case. They say only what's on the case. So you see, this grace that Brother Branham was talking about is the same grace that Peter and Paul spoke of that would come at the time of the apocalypse, or the unveiling of the mighty God. And it is to produce in us an anointing upon the doctrine and knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that we might understand our own role as sons, giving us the same mind that was in the Father, or that was in Christ, readying us for the adoption as obedient sons. So we see the importance of faith, which is revelation to the believer. Revelation is what seals us in. Revelation is what anoints our mental faith with an ability to take on word upon word upon word, beginning at the supernatural dynamic revelation that seals us, or bringing it to the supernatural dynamics of revelation that seals us into Christ, the Word, and readies us for the adoption. Now, Got a lot here this morning. Just bear with me. We'll try to finish. 1 John 2:20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Notice that this anointing gives us revelation that we might know what we are supposed to know, which is the revelation of Him. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, John says, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denieth the Father and the Son. Remember, and is a conjunction and joins two things together. So you're talking about two, Father and Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not or echoes not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He hath promised unto you, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man would teach you, but as this same anointing teaches you all things, and is the truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. So we see that the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the believer is what allows you to know and understand the great thing, the deep things of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:1, we read, and I'm just going to bypass a little bit of this, but Paul says, let me just do it. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that's the problem we have today. That men have received their learning from men and not from God. Brother Brown told us in the message sermon, Voice of the Sign, he said, the elected listens to the voice, but the unelected ignores and says nonsense. And go on. We'll take the same old school. That's the way that they did in the days of Luther. And from a sermon, God is Rich in Mercy, he said, if a man comes out with an odd, peculiar ministry that's found in the Bible to be the truth, and that man stays right in that same old denominational doctrine, then forget it. Nothing to it. God don't do a thing like that. That thing, that's rotten manna, that's got termites in it, wiggle worms, or whatever you want to call it, from 40, 50 years ago, still trying to eat that old manna that fell back years ago, and the children of Israel, on their journey, new manna fell every night. That's the reason, that's right, and you couldn't keep it over. We don't live on some other age gone by. We're eating new manna, fresh manna, out of heaven in our journey as we go on. Now, then why do men keep preaching the same old denominational oneness doctrine? And claim it to believe the Son. They say they see the prophet, so they see the sign. But why do they keep preaching the same old watered down doctrine that they held back in Pentecost? Because they don't believe the voice of the sign.
Yep.
They believe the sign, like you know the guys on the website, but they don't believe the voice. They don't believe what he said. Now, he said in his sermon, the token, he said, he displays the sign as Messiah, and so forth. And then many of them said, yes, I could go for that. Well, now, if that was a sign, then there's got to be a voice of that sign. And what was the voice behind it? When he began to teach his doctrine. So the doctrine that William Brown taught comes right from the Apostle Paul. And they refuse the doctrine. They refuse what Paul said. And Paul said, if an angel from heaven or any other person comes and preaches contrary to what I've taught, let him be cursed. All right. So the doctrine is vitally important because it is a fertilizer upon the seed, bringing it into manifestation of the life that lays within it. And Jesus said they did not want his doctrine. They wanted the doctrine of man instead. And by teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, they made the word of God of none effect to themselves. That's what Jesus said. And Paul said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, complete, mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, neither have entered into the heart the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit, that's God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, say the Spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knoweth. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I'm just going to have to pass because we're running out of time. Anyway, Paul says the natural man cannot understand the things of God. Now, if you hear but do not learn, it's because you heard but you did not understand what you heard. Or else, what you think you heard, you really did not hear it at all. And what you think you saw, you did not see it at all, nor did you perceive or understand right. Lest God should have to heal them, as Jesus quoted. So by hearing and not hearing and seeing and not seeing, it shows that they had preconceived ideas already in their mind of what they were hearing and what they were seeing, and thus in their minds they were blinded because their preconceived notions were wrong. That is why they heard and did not hear, and they saw and did not see or did not understand. Now, of the thousands of ministers I met personally overseas, there isn't one of them who couldn't quote Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, and Revelation 10:1-7. And they all know by heart that William Branham spoke concerning Peter by revelation, received the keys of the revelation. And yet, if you ask them to speak those most notable words that Peter used that merited praise from Jesus, I have many doubts that many of them would say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, they've been converted to a oneness Unitarian doctrine that makes Jesus and God one like your fingers one. That makes the body of Jesus God. When Brother Brown said the body was not deity, but deity dwelt in the body. See? Now, if the Word of God is shown to the people and nothing happens to them, then they don't walk in it, then what happens to them? God gives them a delusion instead of a revelation. Why? Because they didn't love the truth. You've got to love it and not fuss with it. Now, Paul told us in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, the lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, delusion is a fallacy, which is a false belief strongly held in spite of invalidating evidence. And when Brother Bell called two lords a fallacy, then why do men still teach why do people teach that? A false belief strongly held in spite of invalidating evidence. Now, I'll tell you why. Because they hold to another fallacy or false teaching that says a true fivefold minister cannot make a mistake. Well, since when can a true minister of the gospel not make a mistake? Even Brother Brown said he could make a mistake. But he said, take it to this word. He said, this word never makes a mistake. I'll just read it. Brother Brown said even God's prophets made mistakes because they are mortal men. Only God, who is infinite, cannot make a mistake. From a sermon identified Christ of all ages, which was preached after the seals, Brother Brown said, now, all I could say is I'm a man. My words can just fail just like any other man, all of us. I prove to you tonight that every prophet, everything else, they made their mistakes. But God makes no mistakes. His word is the truth. How many believe that he is the word? God bless you. That's where my faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Jesus is the word. Again, from Identify Christ of All Ages, said, now watch, Joseph just portrayed the life of Christ almost perfect, but he made a mistake to show that it wasn't him. Man makes mistakes, see? He told Pharaoh, he said, he told his father, which was a prophet, Jacob, he said, you tell Pharaoh that we are herdsmen because a shepherd is an abomination to an Egyptian. But the father, the spirit, wouldn't let him do it. He said, your servant, the shepherd. So you see Joseph there making a mistake. David, the great man, made a mistake. A man after God's own heart, yet he took Bathsheba thinking he could hide it from the very God that he had served all of his life. But God exposed him by Nathan the prophet. See? Now, if revelation is to anoint our mental faith and create in us a supernatural understanding and bring us into a ready state for adoption, then deception will do the opposite. It'll cause one to fall away from the faith, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, if we teach anything contrary to what Paul taught, he said, let every man be cursed, right? Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now there's a curveball. You think it's coming straight, and at the end, they go off with the scripture. Here it is. But there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul saying, even myself, if I come to you with anything other than what's already been preached, let me be cursed. See? As we said before, so say now, if any man, let him Let's be more specific. If any apostle, prophet, pastor, or teacher, or evangelist preach any other gospel unto you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Now, what did Paul teach? Ephesians 4 and 4. There is one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all. Amen. In Deuteronomy 6 and 4, we hear, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." All right. In Mark 12:29, Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.'" Now, you teach two Lords, you're breaking the very first commandment. You can't get away from it. You go into delusion. From anointed ones to the end time. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these reprobates, reprobate mind concerning the faith, not a faith, the faith, one Lord, one. You can't have one faith without believing in one Lord. Jesus said in John 3:19, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Again, Paul said in Ephesians 4:14, "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Jesus said in Matthew 23:13, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in." In other words, they prevent others from coming in. And again, we hear Paul tell us the same thing in Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrightwise men, of which who hold the truth down in unrighteousness." And the word unrighteousness is an unrightwise. The word, the Greek word there is kateko, to hold down. It means to withhold or to hold back. So they won't teach the truth. Now notice how they do it. He said they hold down the truth in unrighteousness, which means they hold down the truth by giving the people an incorrect understanding to replace the truth. By teaching error instead of the truth, they hold it back from the people. In order to withhold the truth, they cause the people to stay away from the truth. To do this, they must lie about the truth. And so they suppress the knowledge of the truth from the people and cause the people to become afraid to check truth for themselves. Like one preacher said. He said, "You don't need to look up the quotes." He said, "That's my job." No, it's your job. Look it up for yourself. It's an individual walk. I can't make it for you. You're going to have to make it for yourself. The bride hath made herself ready. All right? They weren't made ready by somebody else doing it for them. In order to believe the lie, they do not come right out and deny the Scripture, and they will not say they disagree with Brother Branham. Oh, no, that would put them on the message. But then when you quote from the Scripture and William Branham, they say that you're making it up, and you're twisting it. They say that they believe him, and yet they deny what he taught. Oh, God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. And yet you show them what God's prophet said. Oh, no. You're twisting that. So what do? Is they tell the people that the Scriptures does not mean what it says. The Scripture says that Jesus was not his own father. So they just won't share. The Scripture says that Jesus was not his own father. But they'll tell you, well, Jesus was his own father. He gave birth to himself. See, they take a quote that's very simple to understand. God gave birth to himself a son. And they say, well, see, God gave birth to himself. And they close it off right there. God gave birth to himself. How can God, who is eternal, infinite, give birth to himself and have a beginning? You can't do it. The one that had a beginning was the Son. So they just won't share those Scriptures with the people. The Scripture says that God forsook Jesus in Gethsemane and God entered into his Son in the River Jordan. So they just won't read those Scriptures to the people. The Scripture tells us that Jesus was the Son of God and that he was born there. Therefore, he had a beginning. So they just won't read those Scriptures to the people. And pretty soon they won't read much of the Bible, too much of the Bible at all. So they end up quoting other men and enter into a lot of music and very little Bible. And I venture to say that most churches you go into today, I don't care if it's a message or any Christian church, it's mostly music. It's mostly entertainment. That's why you have these mega churches. People come and they dance in the aisles. They have a wonderful time singing and praising and everything else. And they give them no word. And so instead of preaching about the Son of God and how he came and laid down his own life, they preach about the bride, and the creature. They preach about the creature instead of the Creator. And so they will not believe the record that God gave of his Son. And so they, in essence, they're calling God a liar. And that is what the Apostle John said in 1 John 5 and 10. "He that believeth on the Son of God echoes the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And what was that record that God gave of his Son? John 1:32. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And again, he said in verse 34, and I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. Because the voice said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. All right. So the error of the wicked is to take the word of God, to twist it in such a way as to distort it, so it does not say what it actually says. It means to lie about the truth in order to cause the people to stay away from it, and that's how they suppress the truth. And Brother Brown laid out for us three things that they do to distort the word of God, and he said that we should never do these three things with the word of God, because to do them is to change the meaning of what God's word means. From Christ revealed in his own word, he said, now, in order to study the scripture, Paul told Timothy, study it, rightly dividing the word of truth, which is true. Then there's three musts in the scripture. In using God's word, there are three things that you must not do. Now, let's study those for the next 10 minutes. Three things you must not do, and all out in the land, wherever you cross the nation, be sure to put this down in your mind. And if you have got a pencil, you must not do these three things. We tell you all the time what we must do. I'm going to tell you what you must not do. Now, you must not misinterpret the word. You say, well, I believe it means this. It means just what it says. It needs no interpreter. And you must not misplace the word, and you must not dislocate the word. And if we would do either of these, it will throw the whole Bible into confusion and chaos. So number one, you must not misinterpret the word. That means to interpret, explain, or understand incorrectly. All right? Number two, you must not misplace the word. It means to put in a wrong place or place properly or unwisely. And number three, you must not dislocate the word. In other words, to put out of its proper relationship to other scripture. Now, to misinterpret the word means to interpret wrongly. Like teaching two lords is the truth when it's a fallacy, or teaching two souls when there is no scripture for it. To misplace the word means you place it where it is not meant to be placed, such as in John 14:12, for only one person instead of the body of Christ. And number three, to dislocate the word means to put out of place or proper relative position, to put out of order, like placing the adoption and being conformed to the image of the firstborn son off somewhere into the money. That would be dislocated. All right? Now, in closing, in 2 Peter 3:17, you therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness, which is Jude. And Jude tells us in Jude 1:11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for a reward. What was the error of Balaam? We're all one. Shouldn't we all get together? Shouldn't we all be happy? Shouldn't we all be one big message? That's the error of Balaam. And they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. What was the gainsaying of Korah? What was the gainsaying of Korah? Korah came against the prophet of God. He said, we're all children of God. We can all, you know. No, there's one prophet, one voice. Okay. God didn't divide his voice up to all the people like Korah wanted. There's one prophet. Say what's on the tape, brothers. Say only what's on the tape. Now, 1 John 4:6, we are of God, and he that knoweth God. Here's the key. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Delusion. Now, Brother Brown said in his sermon, Christ revealed his own word. Remember, the people judged in the first age, they said, you are not of God because you're not saying what the messenger said. How do we know that we're of God? Because we're saying the same thing the vindicated prophet of God said. In the Laodicean age, people were what? Naked. Are they? Blind. What good does light do to a blind man? If the blind leaves the blind, don't they all fall in the ditch? Naked, blind, and don't know it. Even their mental faculties are gone. Their spiritual faculties of mental, spiritual understanding. See, heady, high-minded, lovers of God, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and despisers of those that are good. Having a form of God-likeness, but denying the power thereof, the power of revelation. They don't even believe in it, see? They don't believe in such things as prophets, and so they don't believe in it. And from his sermon, Way of a True Prophet, the Bible said, if they wouldn't believe the word, he'd give them strong delusion to believe a lie and would be damned by it. That's exactly what these organizations of people of this nation is doing today. Believing a lie to be damned by it. And from his sermon, God's wrapped gifts, in closing, he says, God said he'd give them over to a strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned by it. God said he would do it. You refuse right, you have to take wrong. There's no other way. You refuse to go right, you have to go left. Go some other way besides right. So you can't go right and wrong at the same time. When they refuse the Holy Ghost, they refuse Christ. They refuse God's program. They refuse the messenger. They refuse everything. So therefore, they're left in their sin. There's nothing left then but judgment. My question this morning to you, is it revelation that you have, which is faith, the faith of Christ, or is it a delusion? Is it a deception? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We've poured it on the people, Lord, like maybe perhaps too much this morning, but it's all there for them to go back and study the quotes and scriptures, knowing that these are words that your prophet said, your scriptures say. I have nothing to do with it, Lord. I just, by your anointing, put together those quotes and scriptures, Lord, that just fit like a glove to show us that we either have the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the faith of Jesus Christ, or we have a delusion. We're in a delusion, which is a deception. And so, Father, I know that the only way we can have the correct understanding and revelation is that we have the Holy Ghost. And so, Father, help us, O God, to yield to the Holy Ghost and to search the Scriptures, for in them there's eternal life. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Just sing the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord bless thee.